Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You worked all week.
Work.
You didn't have time to look at your fantasy lineups.
Son of a b-.
But don't be afraid.
That's why we give you Weekend Fantasy Update.
Woohoo! Working on.
All right, welcome back for hour number two of Weekend Fantasy Update. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Mike Blewett, Sean Engel producing our show, keeping us flying straight. And yesterday, Sean Engel put a little soundbite of when I said, you know, he keeps us flying straight, of a little jet flying, you know, flying straight. So, I mean, yeah, you know, Sean Engel gets all these little these intricacies into keeping the show interesting. So kudos to the Fantasy Prince.
Oh, sorry. Is my sister reply to that? Well, good for
yeah,
sure.
Why don't you say something,
bored
say something nice
room.
About say something
He's
nice about
by
Sean.
Himself. Listen, we have no idea what Sean's doing back there, by the way. We have no idea.
Maybe
it's not,
we
he's
don't
not even
know.
In studio. They got him locked up in like a closet of a room, which we used to do our shows from that room back in the day, by the way.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Yes.
That was interesting. Sitting on chairs, you hope you aren't going to, you know, collapse underneath you.
Right.
But that was fun.
And you had like
started.
This black curtain around this, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
With Frank and Mike writing stuff on the walls, which is interesting.
But we had teased we were going to do a little preview on the AFC West.
Screw the Chiefs.
We had screw the Chiefs.
Let Mike tell us what to do.
Well, we had Davis Maddock, big Chiefs fan, on first hour of the show. Chiefs, basically, man, they look like they're in midseason form, right? I mean, we all love Chiefs offense, George, but you know, from a real life perspective, their defense was as bad as their offense was good last year, right? So you hope that maybe there's a little improvement there, right?
Well, with the Chiefs, yeah. Let's try and speak English. It's probably the one thing we all agree on. Pat Mahomes is the number one quarterback to take in fantasy, and Travis Kelce is the number one tight end to take in fantasy. Right? I don't know anybody who's disputed either one of those that doesn't have Kelce at number one, doesn't have Mahomes at number one. So that's a good thing. You know, we like that. Makes life a little easier there. We can debate whether to take D'Angelo Williams. Is he a running back one or running back two? You know, I know Andy Reid came
Williams
out there and we could say,
Damien.
Damien, did I say D'Angelo? D'Angelo's not playing that anymore. Although he did very well for me.
He did well for the Steelers when he filling in for Bell, right?
I'm sure Mike Blewett's a fan. But as far as Damien's concerned, I know we heard Andy Reid came out early this week and said, oh, it was going to be a committee system. So I think Andy Reid's still pissed off at Williams for missing some practice. You know, for not really – I think Reid wanted him to come back from the – I forget what the injury was. It might have been a hammy. A little quicker than he actually did. And I think this is Reid's way of saying, this job, you're not assured of this job. You better get your butt in here, and you better play. You better practice. You better do well. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. I think this is pretty much a one-back system. That's what Reid has done throughout his coaching career, is generally one back. Doesn't mean he'll do it this year. I'm just saying that generally throughout his career. I wouldn't be dropping Williams too far because of what Andy Reid said this week. I think this is more just coach speak, trying to motivate the player, that sort of thing. Tyreek Hill, I mean, I'd have him in a top 10 wide receiver, closer to 5, actually, than to 10. Just moved him ahead of Antonio Brown because of Brown's issues. I'm not going to play because of a freaking helmet. You're an idiot. Seriously, you're an idiot. I just can't stand when players do that. You know, it being IME players, and yeah, I'm not going to play because I can't get my helmet. He tried to paint a helmet. And he painted that helmet like he was a 3-year-old, by the way. I mean, literally, like he's I mean, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Anyway, so I moved Tyreek Hill above him in my rankings. You can think what you want about Tyreek Hill. I think anybody who's listening to me knows I think he's a scumbag. You know, I think he's done things wrong here. I don't think he's innocent of this at all. I think he got away with the suspension because of the – this is the 100th year of the NFL, and they want to do commemorative things, and they don't want something going through the courts. And this would have gone through the courts. So I think that's why he got away with it. You know, it's the right timing for him. So strange as far as I'm concerned of what's going on there with Kansas City and Hill. Not a fan there. But that being said, Mike, I separate fandom for fantasy or gambling from my personal beliefs here. I might hate Tyreek Hill as a person, but if he's going to win me money, I'm drafting Tyreek Hill. It's that simple. You know, if he's going to help me pay my bills, he's going to win me a league. He's going to win me a DFS tournament. He's going to win me gambling because I bet on a prop for Tyreek Hill or the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm all for taking him. Once again, he's paying my bills. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But some people won't. We know that people, mm-hmm. I'm not drafting this guy because I hate him. I sort of get that too. And if you're in a home league, which is a fun league, fine, do that. But if you're in a money league, man, you still want to take the best players available when it's your turn to go.
Yeah.
I think I'm sort of with George on this. I can't sit here and be hypocritical and talk about you can't draft this guy. I've had Zeke Elliott on my teams, and that was in the throes of the serious situation he had with the ex-girlfriend, where the prosecutor said they think something happened, but they didn't have enough evidence to be able to get a conviction. I think whether it's Joe Mixon or Tyreek Hill or Zeke Elliott or any of these other guys, this isn't a real locker room. If you want me to take a stance, I don't think this is the right one, the right place to take it. It's not a real locker room. I'm not actually employing anybody. I've made bets on people in the past that I'm sure are rotten human beings that I'm not even aware of. You know, so there's plenty of people out there that have bet money on Floyd Mayweather, and that guy served actual jail time for domestic violence. So I just don't think I can get too emotional about a fantasy football team in that way. I wouldn't criticize you. At the same time, I wouldn't criticize you if you choose not to. George, our friend Ray Flowers from SiriusXM, he's somebody that very often, I give him credit for it, he's diligent about it. He really will not roster players that have been through incidents like this, whether it was Adrian Peterson or any of the other names I've mentioned. So I can appreciate that. I just, to me, it's a virtual situation. So I don't really get that emotional about it. Excuse me.
I can appreciate it also, and I wouldn't get on Ray for following his beliefs there. But you're hurting yourself. I think the other problem is, Mike, there are so many of these players now. We're not talking one or two guys. You're going to be up there around 10, at least 10. We're talking top players here. Okay, you can't draft Ben Roethlisberger. He's gone. No Ezekiel Elliott. Mm. He's out. No Tyreek Hill. And you go on. I'm just going position by position. You're eliminating guys here. You know, and certainly if you are this kind of person, you better not let people know, because you know, people know if they can draft around you. I know he's not taking him. I can wait for him. That sort of thing. You don't let people know.
Great point.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't like any of these guys. All three of us are fathers here. We can't like what's going on with Tyreek Hill. How do you, even if you believe Tyreek Hill, yeah, and you think it's the mother, why don't you do anything to correct this? Why are you still with her? What's going on here? You did nothing to fix the situation. So even that bothers me. You know, so I we would all protect our children. I just don't get it. I just don't get it here. You know, and the fact that he's got this thing in the past, too, that he's already done it. You know, I don't know how many strikes you want to give the guy. It's just strange to me. Like I said, I don't like him. I have no problem saying it. I don't like him. Ben Roethlisberger, I said the same thing. Don't like him. You know, for what he's done, if you ever read that transcript of what he did in Georgia, it's atrocious. I can see why they couldn't prosecute him, but it's atrocious. I mean, what he did. But once again, I'm not hanging out with these guys. I'm not going out to dinner and inviting him over my house. You know, to have dinner with my kids and my wife, it's not happening. But if they're going to help me win money, you know, or help me win a championship, whatever it might be, I'm not going to say don't draft them. I'm not going to say that because I have. I think I had Ben Roethlisberger on probably half my teams last year. You know, because once again, wait on quarterback, he's always there. You know, Tyreek Hill, I don't have Tyreek Hill yet this season, but I'm not shying away from him. I just told you I drafted Ezekiel Elliott. I'm a Cowboy fan. And I just drafted Ezekiel Elliott in the House League. You know, because once again, I didn't overdraft him as being a Cowboy fan, but he fell to me fifth. I thought that was good value for him. I took him, and I'll do it again. Everything I do is, you know, my analysis on winning. I want to win. Like, if it was a, you know, a fun league, I am playing with Mike and Joe, no money just for bragging rights. All right, maybe I don't draft Ben. Maybe I don't draft Hill. Maybe I don't draft Elliott. But you know what? My competitive spirit would probably still get the best of me, and I probably still would. I still want to win. Doesn't matter. It's no money.
Joe, you had mentioned something when Davis was on about a couple of the, I don't call them backups, but the sort of second tier of those Chiefs players, because we all know Kelce and Hill and Damian Williams and Mahomes, those are all going in the top 30 picks right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Sammy Watkins, Carlos Hyde, Darwin Thompson? What about, how interested are you in any of those guys? And specifically at the running back position, how concerned are you that Damian Williams can get some of those touches take away?
To be honest with you, when it comes to Damian Williams, I mean, common sense to me dictates that a guy that has 183 total career regular season carries, I mean, does common sense tell you that this guy's going to be able to carry the ball 200, 250 plus times in a season? Yeah, he came on real strong at the end of last season, no doubt. But to me, I mean, look, we could talk about, you know, coaches blatantly lying, coaches trying to light a fire under a player's butt because they don't like the way that they're practicing, the way they're conducting themselves on a team. But, you know, when it comes to Damian Williams, if I'm drafting him, I'm going to damn well make sure that I have a really good backup in place on my roster. You know, Carlos Hyde, nice running back, but I think he's proven, even though he's not an old guy, that I don't think he's a bell cow back. I mean, can you really consider him a straight handcuff in this backfield? I don't know, because you have some depth there, you know, as well. Like, I like what I saw out of Darwin Thompson. You know, doesn't mean I'm going to draft Darwin Thompson. It just means that, you know, if Reed is looking to give a little break to Damian Williams, Thompson's in the mix now. So, yeah, I am concerned about Damian Williams. Like I said, I don't know, it's just sometimes, you know, we get all super hype about a player and we remember, you know, the recency bias of how great he finished the season last year. But look, can this guy do it over a 16-game grueling season when he's only had 183 career carries? I don't know.
George, I'll let you hit up the Sammy Watkins conversation. I'm going to have a tough time drafting Sammy Watkins, personally. I just think he's a consistent injury waiting to happen. But the reality is, in that offense, as a starting wide receiver, if Sammy Watkins stayed healthy, he'd catch a lot of balls. He would have the opportunity to create some big plays, obviously, with Pat Mahomes throwing it to him. Hill and Kelce and even Williams might be in front of him on touches and on receptions. So Sammy is going to have the opportunity to make some big plays if he's out there.
In the Scott Fishbowl, I believe, almost positive, I have Sammy Watkins as my wide receiver, too. Now, at that point, when we did Scott Fishbowl, we remember this was in July, I thought Hill would be gone. I was thinking six games, maybe eight. You know, I thought he'd be suspended. I'd get the number one wide receiver there. So that didn't work out for me. You know, big strike out there. And so now I got to live with that. And it's funny, I didn't remember that until you started talking about this, so thanks for depressing me here. I have no idea who my wide receivers are, but I know I waited a while on wide receiver, so I think I'm probably in trouble there as far as wide receiver is concerned. It is what it is. Like I said, you draft early, you're going to take some shots. You might hit, you might miss. This one's a miss, you know, with the non-suspension there. But that being said, he'll have some games, but he's never really put it together. He's never been anywhere near the play we thought he'd be. And we thought he was going to be dynamic with Buffalo. Didn't work out. The Rams, he was okay. You know, he just hasn't been that player. And just because the Chiefs have a great offense, and they do, I don't see big things coming for him here. They could be okay. Yeah, I do have Watkins, Washington, Thielen's my number one, Sanu, Landry, Doxson, Allison. Oh well, it was fun.
We're gonna break down our our Scott Fishbowl teams in the next segment, because Tyler Bielowski is going to join us, and he's done power rankings for all the Scott Fishbowl teams. How dare he rank me 699th? He does not like my team, or his model does not like my team at all. Galena is coming in at 360, and we're still searching for where Kurtz is coming in. But hopefully
Sammy Watkins is not going to be high.
He's off the charts.
Damn it.
Approaching 1,200 of the 1,200 teams. So, all right, let's talk about the Chiefs in general. Right now, they are a minus 155 to win the division. The Chargers are plus 170. Broncos plus 1,300. Raiders plus 1,600. So, first of all, Chiefs to win the division. Joe, do you think it's Chiefs, Chargers, or somebody else?
Boy, that's a tough one because both of those teams are very good. But I think it's between both of them. And we started the conversation about the Chiefs is, you know, how much is their defense improved? Because like I was telling George, you know, as much as their offense was fantastic last year, their defense was almost just as bad. So, you know, Chargers are going to be an interesting team to see, you know, just how much time Melvin Gordon's going to miss. I mean, you know, I mean, if you talk to Jerry Jones, Super Bowls aren't won on the backs of running backs. But I think it's between
the
two
Cowboys.
Teams. Yeah. Emmitt Smith, right?
Idiotic statement. Yeah. The Cowboys won 3 Super Bowls. Guess what was the coincidence of all 3? Emmitt won the damn rushing title. Idiot Jones.
So the Chiefs did add, to Joe's point about their defense, they did add Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu during the offseason. They made the trade for Frank Clark on draft night. It's right around the draft. And then Tyrann Mathieu was their big signing. So they did add a couple of big pieces. The defense was an issue last year. Couldn't get off the field in the AFC Championship game. Still almost won. But nonetheless, we'll see how that goes. And, George, their win total is 10.5. Over-under.
I think we did this. I don't know if I did it with you or Joe. I don't remember what I had, but I might have done it with Joe. I know I've done it. I've could have been Cam, too, by the way, for that matter. We do talk, obviously, a lot of gambling there. I had them at over. I think I had them at 11, but not enough where I'd bet it. Obviously, if it's 10.5, I have you half over. It's not. I don't feel confident enough in doing it. I think they're a very good team. I think the Chargers are also a very good team. I would have the Chiefs winning the division now because of the Melvin Gordon holdout. Yes, I think the Chargers will survive without him. You know, if he decides to hold out to the season, Eckler and Jackson, you can do that. But still, that's as far as the over-under is concerned of winning the division, I think that pushes the edge towards the Chiefs, not to mention Hill coming back. When we did this, I don't think Hill was with the team.
I actually agree with that. I thought the Chargers were one of the best bets on the board, and then Melvin Gordon held out. So we'll come back with Tyler Bielowski next.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on Weekend Fantasy Update, and NFL preseason is here. Season-long fantasy football drafts are in full swing, so head on over to rotoexperts.com and check out the NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the Internet. So Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts have you covered with Dynasty, season-long, and best ball formats, giving you an edge regardless of what type of season-long fantasy you play. So save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY. The NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package only at rotoexperts.com. So I believe we have Tyler here. Yeah, Tyler Bielowski. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing that right. Is it Tyler Bielowski?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's Bielowski. Yep, first try. Good job.
Good stuff. Yeah, so Tyler Bielowski, you find him on Twitter at Tyler Bielowski, and he is a co-host with his son of the Tyler and Eli Fantasy Football Tips podcast. But the reason I'm having him on is because he has put together a power rankings model for Scott Fishbowl. I know this is a league that everybody hears about a lot. It's because there are many, many experts in it and many fans in it as well, 1,200 teams strong. And Tyler, I should have you know, and Joe Galina can back me up on this, that at week six of last year, I was in first place. It was only 900 teams last year, but I was in first place. So needless to say, I was stunned when this year's power rankings have me at 699th. So I need to find out what the hell happened here. I need to make some moves early. I need to get in on the waiver wire, possibly improve this. But how does this model work out?
Yeah, the way I do the grading is I'll go and grade every player individually. It has nothing to do where you drafted the player at. Has nothing to do your team makeup. You know, if you want 10 quarterbacks and 3 receivers and whatnot, that doesn't matter. My grading scale is a 1 through 5. It's kind of like a tier draft ranking. You know, Zeke Elliott, he'll get a 1. Theo Reddick will get a 4 or 5, depends how you feel that day. All rookies this year are 5. Last year, Barkley was a 1 because he was a stud. This year, there's no studs out there. They're all get 5s. A lot of it has to do with my day-to-day feeling. You know, if I'm in a good mood, Mike Williams is going to get a 4. If I'm in a bad mood, Williams gets a 5. So it's kind of, you know, a little wishy-washy there, but, you know, those are for the lower tier guys, in my opinion. I really like Eli Manning. I think he's going to be great this year, even though Shepard's out for right now, but I gave him a 2. I've always liked Eli. He's consistently 4,000 yards. He gets a 2 this year. The lower the number, the better. It's like Goff. Holdouts and trades and injuries didn't matter with the grading because I graded right after all the drafts were done. So Zeke Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Antonio Brown, you have nothing to worry about with those. And the scoring system doesn't matter. You know, I know tight ends are heavy this year and it's a super flex, but again, that kind of goes along with the makeup. So yeah, you did great last year with your first 6 weeks, but this year you don't know how to draft, so that's why you got a 699.
Wow!
No. In all honesty, these things really mean nothing. It's just something I wanted to do for the Scott Fishbowl Nation, contribute one way. Mm-hmm. Last year I didn't get an invite right away, so I was like, well, how can I contribute? And so I was like, oh, we'll just rank them all, and it's a 2 to 3 week long process. And it's fun. I love it. I'm getting a ton of good positive feedback. You know, a couple of people here and there are irked about it, but yeah, it's just something, you know, keep on trucking and keep on with the Scott Fishbowl Nation. Contribute one way. I did eventually get an invite last year. Scott did say, hey, you know, we have a dropout. Do you want to jump in? I'm like, yeah. So this is my third year playing. I didn't rank myself this year for conflicts of interest. Just I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want people like, oh, you gave yourself a really good score. No, yeah.
Hey, Mike, maybe we could rank him. Maybe we could go over his roster.
Yeah, I gotta find. I'll take a look. I'll try and find it. I'll try and find it. Galina, you came in at 360. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm in the Dr. Mario if you want to quickly look it up. Yeah, Mike, you're at 699. Joe, you're at 360. And George, I haven't put you in the, you know, I haven't put you on Twitter yet. You're at 35.
Wow.
35.
So, yeah, 35.
Guy's got Sammy freaking Watkins as his second wide receiver. I got to check out George's team now. Joe, yeah. Go ahead.
But he also has, I'm looking at Kurtz's, roster here. I guess having Patrick Mahomes, he's got to be a 1, right? And yeah, also he has Eli Manning, and he gave Eli Manning a 2. So, you know, so that's pretty interesting. So
yeah.
How many man hours did this take you? I mean, it's a great thing. You know, like you said, you want to, you know, get contribute to the Scotty Fishbowl Nation here.
Like I said, it took about 3 weeks to do. I was pumped. It takes about 20 minutes to grade each team. So, you know, 1,200 teams. Sorry, 1,200 teams. You know, at 20 minutes a clip, and then I had to put them all in order, and then I had to put them all in. Put them all on Twitter. So it's a long process. Mm-hmm. My wife and kids, you know, they kind of got the back burner for the past couple of weeks. I did a lot of it at work too during my lunch break. and some downtime I had at work, so I could pump them all out so I didn't have to take up too much family time. But yeah, it's a long process, and I can't imagine how many teams Scott's going to put in next year and make my job even harder. So, and I'm old school. I'm all paper and pen. I don't put it on spreadsheets or anything like that. And it's just, for me, it's a lot quicker, because all I do is I just look at the name and put a number down. I don't worry about the names. So when I go back through, and for tiebreakers, I just look at numbers. I don't care about the names after that. So yeah, it's a long process, but it's fun. And it's, you know, like I said, depending on how I feel, you know, Theo Regic might get a 4 or 5 that day. So.
All right. So here's Tyler's team. His QBs, Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Drew Lock, Deshaun Watson. It's actually pretty strong. Watson, Goff, Carr is a pretty strong top three. I'm not a huge fan of Derek Carr, but I just think there's going to be numbers for him there this year. Wouldn't you agree, Joe?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'd give Deshaun Watson, obviously, a 1. No doubt.
Yeah. He's got, okay, running backs. He loaded up on the Bears. So he's got Cohen and Mike Davis. He's got Ingram, Alvin Kamara, Adrian Peterson, T.J. Yeldon, Alfred Blue. His receivers, Geronimo Allison, Devin Funchess, David Moore, DeMarcus Robinson, Sterling Shepard, Equanimeous St. Brown, Robert Woods. So you went QBs and RBs early here, it appears to me, because the wide receiving group is good, not great. And Woods is your top wide receiver there. You need Shepard back from an injury, that's for sure. And then tight ends, you got Kyle Rudolph, David Njoku, Evan Ingram. So that's actually a pretty strong tight end grouping, because for those that don't know, Tyler, you can sort of sum up what your strategy was going in here. But for those that don't know, there is a tight end kicker. So it's a point per first down, point and a half, I think, for a first down for a tight end, if I'm remembering correctly. But nonetheless, what was your strategy going into the draft, considering the tight end bonus points and everything else? And it's a super flex approach. So give me your thoughts on what your strategy was going in.
Yeah. I think I had the 5th pick, and I was really looking for Kelsey or Hopkins, but Kamara fell to me, so I had to take him. You know, you get the 50 points, you get the 5 points for every 50 yards. So it's like, well, why not take that? I'm usually a zero RB approach when I draft, but Kamara fell to me, so I had to take him. But after that, you know, you can start up to, I think, 5 tight ends. So I went heavy with that. Like Ingram, Njoku, and Rudolph, they all got 1s for me. And then Thomas got a 2. So, you know, I got some pretty tight ends. And then when I drafted, I didn't draft for the rankings, and hopefully no one else did. So I just drafted on players who I like, and who I think is going to score a lot. I'm not big on rookies, so I have like 1 or 2, but that's just because I had to fill my roster up. So yeah, I just, whatever fell to me for the most part, I think I went Kamara, Watson, and then Woods were my first 3 picks, or maybe Ingram in there. But yeah, I just when I draft any team I draft for the most points possible. Like, I'm not one of those guys who sit on cornerbacks until the 8th, 9th round. Same with tight end. I'm going to fill up my starting roster first, and then I'm going to worry about my bench. And that's why I got like the Alfred Blue and the Mike Davis and guys like that, because I'm never going to start them. Why am I going to draft super early when positions I'm never going to start? So that's why I got Watson and Carr and Goff like super early. So I just want more points, the most points, so I can win. That's how I draft. I know it's against industry.
Not a bad approach.
Yeah. I know it's against industry and everything, wait on quarterbacks, but I buck the system when it goes to that. And I draft my points up front.
So looking at your roster now, you know, where this draft started, I think it was July 8th, if I'm not mistaken. So are there any glaring mistakes that you look at, you know, on your team, saying, wow, man, I wish I hadn't taken this guy? Like, for instance, on my team, I mean, I went with Andrew Luck, and I took Antonio Brown at the time. You know, I was very high on Luck. And, you know, now I'm a little worried with this whole calf injury news. And it's going on for weeks now. And Antonio Brown, you know, flipping out a little bit about the helmet and the issue with the feet and the frostbite. Any guys on your team that you say, wow, you know, I wish I hadn't taken them, and I wish I had gone, you know, left instead of right?
No, I'm pretty happy with my team. Like I said, I know who I'm going to be starting, you know, super flex. So it's going to be Watson and Goff every week. And then Cohen, Ingram, and Kamara are my three backs. Probably if Shepard can come back healthy, Shepard, Woods, and Allison, and maybe in between with Funchess in there. And then the three, Ingram, Njoku, and Rudolph, are going to be my three tight ends. You know, all those points you're going to get for tight ends, I loaded up on tight ends. And I actually got Thomas pretty late because I looked deeper into the scoring system and realized, hey, you can start, I think, up to five tight ends. So let's double up on some tight ends and get some more points. But, you know, it stinks that Shepard's hurt, you know, so that's going to put a little ding in my starting lineup every week. Because he's always consistently hurt. But as far as your team with Luck and Brown, you know, you're drafting, in a sense, not you, but you in general, you're going to be drafting the names. You know, Luck, yeah, he had that calf issue, but it's still Andrew Luck. You're going to still draft the name. I mean, if you pass on him, you could end up with a Goff, and that may not be so great. Antonio Brown, he's just a head case. You know, he is what he's going to be. You know, it's just, you know, you probably saw the name at a good spot, so you picked him. And then, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, it's just like any other fantasy season. You know, you're always going to have the what ifs and just the injuries. But you just got to take the name that you see and hope for the best and hope it pans out for you.
Again, we're with Tyler Bielowski. He's the host of the Tyler and Eli Fantasy Football Tips podcast. He's done a power ranking. So those of you out there in Scott Fishbowl, it's his third year playing in Scott Fishbowl. He played in 7, 8, and now 9. So for those of you that are playing in Scott Fishbowl, check out his Twitter thread. He's tagging you if you're playing in it, so you'll see where you are. I'm in a robust 699. Galena at 360. Kurtz at 35. Now, I got to check out what Kurtz's roster is. He obviously has done well. Galena, I'm looking at you right now. You got the Luck question mark, obviously, backing him up with Cousins and Stafford. I mean, you actually have three really good starters. I have Mitch Trubisky, Rivers, and then I am backing them up with Mariota-Tannehill combo. I don't think Mariota will get benched due to bad play, but I think there's a chance that since he's been hurt a whole bunch, Tannehill could be in there at some point, Tyler.
Yeah, like just going through your roster right there, you know, you have a 2-2-2 and a 5-5. I don't like any of the Dolphins this year, so pretty much all the Dolphins got fives. And so you're right there, you're sitting at 14 points alone just on quarterbacks. And it adds up quickly, you know, and you know, if you have some rookies in there, that's going to add up. But, yeah, Tannehill and Mariota, again, I don't really like Mariota. So that's my personal opinion on Mariota. So he got a 5. You know, he may be, you know, a top 15 quarterback by the end of the year. But for right now, I don't like him. It's a personal thing. So he got a 5. So, and that's the thing. Like, everyone's like, oh, I drafted the best team. I drafted the best. Yeah, in your opinion, you're right. You probably did do a good draft for the Scott Fishbowl. But my opinion, my grading system, it's a 5, you know, that's why I like Eli Manning. He got a 2. And so a lot of people I've gotten so many DMs about like, oh, my team is so much better.
I think it's all fun though. I think it's all good fun. You're obviously doing it in good fun. I'm not actually offended by my 699 ranking. I understand sort of how you came to it. What I would say about my team in general is that between Jamal Williams, Ito Smith, and Austin Eckler, there's an opportunity for my team to go from good to great in a hurry, Joe.
Upside. Because, a lot of upside there.
Because with Aaron Jones, Devonta Freeman, and the Melvin Gordon holdout, I've got some question marks here where these running backs, I didn't have to spend a lot to get, and I could get a massive return out of it. I'm not suggesting that Jamal Williams is a great player or that Ito Smith would be excellent if he was in a full-time role, but you know, we're talking about some sticky situations at running back for those teams with the Gordon holdout, Devonta Freeman's constant injury history, and Aaron Jones. Like we just got off the phone with Davis Maddock an hour ago, and Davis was saying that Aaron Jones is the type of guy that could swing your league, but it could go negatively.
Right. Right. It's a great strategy if you don't feel comfortable with the running backs that you've drafted in terms of as your starters. Yeah, if you can get the guys that are a heartbeat and injury away from becoming the number one guys in their backfield. And look, the guys you just mentioned have a lot of upside. I mean, Devonta Freeman has a history of getting hurt. Ito Smith could just roll into that number one RB1 role for Atlanta and a very good offense. Austin Eckler. I mean, we don't know how long Melvin Gordon is going to be out. Yeah, so a lot of upside.
Yeah. All right, Tyler, one last thing. I'm taking a look at your team here. At the wide receiver position, you do have Equanimeous St. Brown in there. Give me your thoughts, just, and you have Geronimo Allison. Give me your thoughts how you think that Packers wide receiving core shakes out after Devontae Adams.
I think it's going to be Allison. I think Allison's going to be the two, and then St. Brown is three, and then everyone else falls behind them. And you know, okay. I've always liked Allison. He has that connection with Rodgers. So
good stuff.
Who's your favorite
Tyler,
team, by the way,
for
football?
Yeah, it's a good question. Who's your squad?
Who are you a fan
of? I like the Giants. I like the Giants.
Figures. I thought so. Yeah. Me too.
Well, that's why he likes Eli. That makes sense. Why
right?
Like Eli.
Yeah.
I think Eli's going to be on the bench by October, but that's me. I don't think it's going to be a particularly good season, but I wish them luck, and I wish you luck. And thank you for doing this, helping out the Scott Fishbowl community. You find him on Twitter at Tyler Belaske, BelAwske. So thanks for joining us, Tyler. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys, and have a good rest of the day.
Yeah, we'll come back after the break, and we'll talk Chargers. We'll keep rolling through the AFC West. Do a little bit more Austin Eckler talk, and George will join us back in to talk Chargers. It's Mike and Joe, a Weekend Fantasy Update.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The Triumvirate's back. Mike, Joe, and George, Weekend Fantasy Update. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tune in Radio, iHeart Radio, or if you're able to listen to us, thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. So we just got off the phone with Tyler Belaske. He's doing the Scott Fishbowl Power Rankings. George was not here for that segment, but the good news, George, you came in 35th in the power rankings. He hasn't even posted it yet, but you got a little sneak preview. He likes your team a lot. He really likes Eli. He's a Giants fan, and he likes Eli for the season. He thinks there's an opportunity to get numbers.
He gave Eli a two.
Yeah, he ranks the players 1 to 5, 1 being the best. Mahomes, obviously, a 1, but he gave Eli a 2. And you have Roethlisberger. You actually have strong quarterbacks. You must have gone hard with the QBs in this league, or I really don't know how your draft played out.
Well, Superflex league. Now I've been in Scott Fishbowl since it started, and one thing I've noticed in Scott Fishbowl, you never know how your draft is going to go. And what I mean by that is you don't know how people are going to attack the quarterback position. Sometimes they attack it hard, and you're going to see 4 or 5 quarterbacks go in the first round. Sometimes they don't. So no quarterbacks went in the first round of that draft. I had the 11th pick, and I took I took Le'Veon Bell at 11. And so no quarterbacks went in round 1, but I wasn't waiting to take a quarterback until round 3. So I obviously had the 14th round pick, and I took Mahomes at 14. Now, it happened to be a draft that went very much like the Friday draft. I could have waited. I think I told you, one of you guys before, I could have had Matt Ryan again if I would have wanted to wait till round 3. And if I had to do it all over again, I would have done that. And I would have taken a top receiver probably at 14 or a top running, but whatever it might be. But odds are would have been a receiver there to pair with Le'Veon Bell. So that's how that worked out, how I got Mahomes there. Roethlisberger, I ended up waiting quite a bit to go for once again, I was able to read the draft then. Okay, they're waiting in quarterbacks. And I took Roethlisberger, I want to say around 7, somewhere around there. And Eli was, later in the draft. Listen, I'm sure Mr. Belaske knows what he's doing, like I think he does. Eli, from what your rankings of 1's great and 2 is obviously the next – Eli is nowhere near a 2. You want to double that? I could buy 4. He's not a 2.
Well, we did find out he's a Giants fan like me. So okay, maybe let his emotions get in the way of his ranking. So he admitted it. He said, depending on how I feel at that moment, you can give you a 5. If I don't like you that day, I'm giving you a 1.
And George, so, there's a couple of players that he's
not even started.
A couple of players that he said he really likes that you drafted are Eli Manning and Geronimo Allison. So he has Allison on his team as well. So I think that's what
is
really.
Is he a two also?
I don't think he said that, but he does think Allison is like the clear number two to Adams. That's just sort of the way he's looking at it.
He's not the clear number two.
That's Tyler's opinion. I'm with you. I don't think it's that clear. He also likes Equanimeous St. Brown to be the number three there in front of Scantling and Jamon Moore. Jamon Moore caught a touchdown pass in the game the other night. But we do have some similar players on our teams, me and you, George. We both have Derrick Henry. We both have James Washington. And I was looking at another one here as Jamal Williams. So I was saying to Joe, on my team, you wouldn't look at it now and be like, this is a great team. I think you'd think it's fine, but I do have Ito Smith and Austin Eckler and Jamal Williams. So problems with the starting running backs, which the Chargers are currently in the midst of one, could make my team a lot better than it is right now, which is really sort of strategy when it comes to Scott Fishbowl, looking for guys that, as you get a little bit deeper into the draft, have an opportunity to be a starter at running back because that waiver wire gets thin in a hurry. George, sorry.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Scott Fishbowl, it's funny. Whenever anybody asks me on Twitter, you guys must get these questions too. Hey, rate my team here. I almost give the same answer every time. And you want this answer, by the way. And the answer generally is, it's a good start to your draft. You know, what will determine your fate is the moves you make during the season and staying healthy. If I give you a different answer, well, I mean, it could be good. It could be, you have a – wow, what are you playing, an eight-team league because you have a whole bunch of star players? That would be a great answer. But generally, if I give you another answer, it means you didn't do well. You know, it means unless it's a 14-team league, 16-team league. But if it's a 12 or 10 and I'm not giving you pretty much the stock answer, it means, wow, you have some holes here, buddy. You know, because generally a draft, unless – no, I don't – there are very few leagues where somebody wins it in a draft, in a straight draft. You know, generally a good start, stay healthy now. You know, make the moves during the season, pay attention. Like I said, if I'm giving you a different kind of answer, it means, wow, those are your receivers, buddy, and you didn't – I don't – if I had to think what your number one pick was, or sometimes I do, I'm looking at your – who's your first-round pick? You know, because did something I consider strange, you know, then that's not good here. So I think same thing with Scott Fishbowl. That's my point here. Most of us, the draft's a good start, right? Now it's staying healthy. And Scott Fish, it's so important because we drafted 2 months ago. We know at some point during training camp, guys are going to get hurt because they're going to go out. And all of a sudden, Joe Galina's like, oh, I just lost my third-round pick. That's freaking great. So it doesn't matter what what these ratings are now, what these rankings are. And that's not just Bielski, by the way. Also, the Yahoo rankings, the CBS ranking that you can look on after your draft. All those rankings go by is the same thing he was doing. It's someone's opinion. This is how they rank their players. Right. So if you drafted your team in the order they rank their players, you're going to do very well. If you didn't, you're not. You know, that's why I prefer maybe a composite ranking. You know, like you use ESPN's ranking. At least they're taking five experts. You know, Matthew Berry, Tristan Kolkhorff, Eric Carabel, Mike Clay. And
Fantasy Pros as well. They take
Right, Sand Fantasy Pros. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're taking a whole bunch of people's rankings and then meshing it. That, to me, is more accurate rather than one person's rankings, including if it was my rankings alone. Yes, when I draft, it's like Joe Galina, Mike Blewett. I'm sure you follow your own rankings. I follow my rankings. I have to go with my gut and what I think is right. But I said, people get all upset. Oh, Yahoo ranked my team a C+. Who the hell cares? I mean, really, it means nothing. Okay, if they rank your team an F, you probably have
bragging rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. My team was ranked an A. You're ranked a C. I guess you're right there. But if they rank your team an F, you probably have issues. You're probably screwed up somewhere. Maybe you auto drafted. But actually, if you auto drafted, you should do well. But other than that,
I think it would be a strategy. I think it would be an interesting experiment to try. To try to get an F, to see how good a team you can draft with a D.
Well, that's the Vampire League. Yeah. That's the
that's right.
Mike, were you on last week? We talked about Vampire League.
I was on a show where we talked about a Vampire League. Yes.
Yeah, have you ever done one?
I don't think he was with us. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just Joe and I. Yeah, Mike, have you ever done? I've never done one. Joe's never done. Have you ever done a Vampire League, Mike? I would love to do it.
Why don't we start an industry vampire league? We could be like the next Scotty Fishbowl kind of thing. Why not? Right? Next season, we start a vampire league.
I want to be the vampire. I think it would be a lot of fun to try and eliminate people. Take away players.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk
about the
Chargers.
By the way, guys, real quick.
Yeah.
Got some breaking news. And Steelers wide receiver coach passes away at 62 years old. Daryl Drake. Yeah, yeah. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN just put this out 10 minutes ago on Twitter.
That's awful.
Yeah, so just wanted, you know.
That's a big blow. I mean, the same thing happened with Tony Sperano last year with the Vikings, and now our condolences. That's really awful news.
Absolutely.
Obviously a surprise and not something you want to have happened. Not easy to make a transition out of that, but appreciate it.
Sorry, but I just thought it just one year.
No. I think it's an important update. So our condolences to the Steelers, to his family, and obviously it's going to be a rough thing to deal with in the middle of training camp or at any time. So we're about to talk Chargers. We got Melvin Gordon's situation is really probably casting a shadow over that whole camp from a fantasy standpoint. He's plummeting in many drafts. I really wouldn't want to get anywhere near him. I think he's going to hold out for a whole bunch of games. I don't think he'll hold a whole season because he won't accrue that year of service that he needs. If he does hold out for the entire season, the Chargers would just have him back next year. He doesn't improve his negotiating stance by holding out for an entire season. I think he does. He will try to by holding out for a whole bunch of games. Anyway, so you got that Melvin Gordon situation. Keenan Allen going right around 25 in drafts. So end of the second round, early third round, Keenan Allen. I've seen him go in the second in most drafts. You got Mike Williams. Without Tyrell Williams there, does Mike Williams make a step up? Joe, I'll throw that to you first. The first question mark, Mike Williams, does he make a leap up this year in the 2019 season for the Chargers?
I think he does. I mean, if I remember in his first season, it was a washout because of injury. But this guy is a big play receiver. Has now been in the league. It'll be his third year. First year, he only started one game. But like I said, a guy that a deep ball threat, and with Tyrell Williams now with the Raiders, I think that he's one of these guys that, you know, like a post hype kind of a sleeper type. So I'd be willing to take a dart throw on him.
George, Mike Williams.
You know, yesterday I had a party at my house, and I bring that up because about half of the players in my home league. Yeah, I'm sure you're coming from Jersey. Besides, I couldn't invite you. Who's going to do the show?
All right,
save me. You had to cover the show. That's why my wife's like, yeah, you want to invite anybody from work? I'm like, honey, they're covering for me. All right, this is why I'm here. She's like, how about the hockey rink? I'm like, you realize there's hockey games today. I can't invite nobody from there either. So anyway, but I bring it up because about half the guys from my home league we're here. Could have had the draft yesterday. It would have been great. My wife must hate this stuff. We're all there talking fantasy, which is Greek, you know, to a lot of my family members. It's all Greek. They have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. But one of the guys was talking Mike Williams. And in this league, we get to keep three players drafted after the third round for 3 years. You know, so, and he was thinking of this guy's not nowhere near an expert. You know, he's a solid player, but nowhere near an expert. And he's telling me the players on his team. And, you know, he has good keepers. But he goes, what about this Mike Williams guy? Actually, he said Williams. So I go, well, what Williams? There are a lot of Williams in the NFL. He goes, Williams on the Chargers. I'm like, you mean Mike, right? Not Tyrell, who's on the Raiders. He goes, oh, yeah, Mike, that's the guy. I'm like, you got it. What round you keep him in? He's like, I'm not sure. Can you look it up? I look it up. It's round 17. I'm like, yeah, he's a keeper, buddy. He's an easy keeper. Mm-hmm. Not that he's, I don't think he's going to be a top 10 wide receiver. But I think he's going to be a good wide receiver too, maybe lower on the lower end side here. I mean, it brings back to the Melvin Gordon thing. I think I'm much more worried about his holdout than Ezekiel Elliott's. I think it could leak into the regular season. I don't know if it'll go 10 weeks. I mean, he'll just show up and get his accrued season. I don't know if it'll go that far because he's giving up a lot of money. Then I don't know if he wants to do that. But I think it could leak out there. I think the Chargers think they can survive with Eckler and Jackson, although the running game would take a hit. Right, it's not going to be as good as it was with Gordon, which means they're going to have to throw the ball more. And with no Tyrell Williams being there, yes, Hunter Henry's back, so that'll take away some targets that might have gone there. But Mike Williams, he's not going to see too much double coverage. That's going to be on Keenan Allen. You know, he's not going to see too much safety over the top. That'll be on Keenan Allen. I like Williams a lot. That's what I'm trying to say. I like Williams a lot this season. Yes, obviously in the 17th round, that's an easy keeper. But I think Williams is a good, solid player who's ready to take that next step. We've seen how athletic he is. We've seen, maybe more importantly, that Phillip Rivers, not afraid to throw the ball in a 50-50 situation in the end zone. Mike, go up and get it. That sort of thing. So I'm a big fan of Williams.
Yeah, Mike Williams, the 21st wide receiver off the board right now, behind guys like Robert Woods and DJ Moore, in front of guys like Tyler Lockett and Cooper Kupp. I have no problem with Cooper Kupp right there. I think if I was left with the choice, I would certainly take Kupp and Williams over Lockett. But that would be a hard choice because of what George is talking about.
I think I'd take Woods over Williams because they're right in the same range, right?
Robert Woods? Yeah. Woods and Kupp are probably right in front of Williams for me, only because of Mike Williams' injury history. If he stays healthy, he could be a monster. Right. But he is an oft-injured player. It was always an odd thing to me that the Chargers drafted Mike Williams in the top 10 when their number one wide receiver, who's fantastic in Keenan Allen, has had a lot of injuries. They picked a guy coming out of Clemson who has had a lot of injuries. He had them in college. He's now having them again in the pros. I just thought that made it a very tenuous 1-2 punch. As talented as they are, with an aging quarterback, I just didn't love that choice. But he still is an extremely talented wide receiver. So, Joe, I'm going to give you one. Hunter Henry is now the sixth tight end coming off the board. He is sort of deadlocked almost with Evan Ingram. This is, again, according to NFFC ADPs. So Evan Ingram is the fifth tight end off the board. Hunter Henry, sixth. Jared Cook, seventh. You okay taking Hunter Henry there at like the 65th pick off the board? Middle of the sixth round?
Yeah. To George's point, in terms of, especially if how long this holdout of Gordon's lasts, you know, Rivers is going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. He's shown in the past that he likes to throw into his tight end. You know, the Antonio Gates isn't there, obviously, this year. You know, Henry missed all of last year, but when he's been healthy, he's been productive. So in that range, yeah, I'm happy taking him.
Got it. George, you're good. Are you a Hunter Henry guy? I feel like in the past you've been all over Hunter Henry. I don't know how you feel about him coming off the injury this year. It's been a long time since that ACL was torn. It was basically, I think it was OTAs last year. It wasn't even training camp. So that ACL is over a year out from having been torn and repaired.
I don't know if I've ever had Hunter Henry in a league. Maybe, but I don't remember having him in any league. That being said, I'm not against him. You know, he's in my second tier of tight ends. You know, after the big three, if you want to put Kelsey in his own tier, fine. But Kelsey, Kittle, Ertz, whichever way you want to go there, I have Hunter in that next tier with, you mentioned, Ingram and O.J. Howard. I think they're almost interchangeable, but for me, Ingram and then Henry in that order. But they're the same tier, but that's the order I have them in. I always worry, guys, with the ACL, it's an injury I've had, so I understand how it works, and I understand they have professional people making sure they get as healthy as possible. But you truly don't feel great. You can play in a year, but you don't feel yourself for 2 years. You know, that second year is really when you'll get better. Not everyone's Adrian Peterson was a complete freak, that sort of thing. So I think he'll be fine. I would have no problem taking him, but I'm not. Like I say, that's why he's at the bottom of the tier. I think next year we could talk about this. He may be up at the top of this tier. I don't think he'll get the Kelsey Ertz category, but he'll be at the top of the tier here. So I'm not shying away from him, but I'm not dying to get him either.
Really quick yes-nos on this. George, Chargers make the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes, from me as well.
Do they win the division? Joe?
that's a tough one. No, I think it's the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs.
George,
I agree. I changed it after Hill came back. Chiefs.
Okay, back with hour number three after this.